Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard here with you until 6:30pm to once again take a look ahead to this weekend's sporting action on the Isle of Man. So, coming up tonight, the semi-finals of the Hospital Cup and a potential decider in Division 2 are on the cards this weekend in Isle of Man football. The local athletic scene is continuing full steam ahead. We hear how our local sports and competitors on and off island are getting on. Hundreds of island youngsters are set to take part in tomorrow's 2024 Manx Youth Games. And the air is alive with the sound of four-wheel racing today and tomorrow for this year's Manx Rally. That is all to come this evening. Very warm welcome to you on Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio on this beautiful, glorious sunny evening here on the Isle of Man, taking a look through the latest football, motorsport, athletics action and more over the next half an hour going up to half six. We're going to turn our attention to football first as we come into the final few weeks of the current campaign, and once again cup competition is in the spotlight and, what's more, a potential title decider in the second tier of men's football this weekend. And to go through it all, as always, is Tony Meppham. Tony, very good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Rob.
Well, yeah, busy weekend ahead, as always. Although there isn't the quantity of fixtures that happen throughout the season, they are by no means unimportant. In fact, very important across the respective cup competitions. Four remaining in two competitions across Saturday and Sunday. And we'll start with the ones taking place on Saturday. It is the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals. All games on Saturday, cup and league, kicking off at 2:30pm. We'll start off in the Hospital Cup semi-finals with a big tie in the north of the island, Tony. And that is Ayr United, currently still chasing the Premier League crown up against Peel, and they're facing Ramsey.
Yeah, it's a huge tie, and it's been unfair, I think, for Ramsey right the way through the season. They always seem to get the big top teams through in some of the cup rounds, but certainly this one, Ayr United against Ramsey, we already had a taste of, Rob, midweek when Ayr United won 4-0, so it shows their strength. And I thought Danny Oram, his performance, I've heard, was brilliant. One of the goals was outstanding. So while people like that are in good form, then it's sort of going to go their way a little bit, I think. But Ramsey are a good side. It's a second bite at the cherry, if you like, to see if they can try and get the result. And I'm sure Anthony Cooper and the men there will be looking to see if they can get through to the final. But it's going to be a tough game. I expect Ayr to win it.
Will be, on paper at least, a close game indeed. And elsewhere out at Glen Road, the other semi-final sees Laxey up against the current Premier League leaders, Peel, Tony.
Yeah, and Laxey, I watched them last week against Douglas Royal, and they didn't sort of get things going for themselves, I didn't think. And certainly up front, I think Brodie Patience is back in the squad. That's good. Ryan Gartland will be in that squad as well. So it's sort of making them a little bit stronger. But Peel at the moment, they've been in great form, haven't they? And they're just waiting now to see if they win the league or not, because Ayr United have got Braddon next Tuesday, and then they play St Mary's in the final game on the Friday. So it's all to play for. But, you know, I just feel in this one that Peel have got too much strength for Laxey. But Laxey will be trying to prove a point wrong. We've got one or two other players coming back in, and I think Johnny Palmer's team will be trying their best, but I just can't see them doing it.
Well, speaking of Peel, just before we move on, congratulations to Peel under-21s, winners of the 2024 Cowell Cup last night in a 2-1 win over Corinthians, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great game to watch, Rob, and you know, I thought Corinthians played some really good football. So did Peel. The big crowd, 350-odd people there for a Cowell Cup. That takes some doing, but you know, when you look at you know, the first goal, superb finish by Ellis Dorney, got in the right spot, good cross in from Tom Brown, and got the goal, and then Lewis got the second one, Lewis Roberts. But when Corinthians got that goal back to make it 2-1, my word, they had some efforts in front of goal, but couldn't get it over the line, and congratulations to Peel.
Indeed. Okay, let's turn back to Saturday's action. So outside of the Hospital Cup, we do have four league games scheduled to take place, three of those coming in DPS Limited Division 2. We'll start with the big one here, Foxdale versus Governors Athletic. And Tony, Foxdale already promoted to the Premier League next season, along with Onchan, both of them battling for the title, but Foxdale could seal the title if they beat Governors Athletic this weekend.
Yeah, they could, and certainly against Governors. When you look at the league table, Rob, Foxdale at the top and Governors Athletic in 10th, you've got to go for Foxdale, and what an important win that was against Onchan. A good win as well. So in that one, I'm definitely going to go for Foxdale to win.
And not forgetting the two other games taking place, Maloo, they'll be hosting Douglas High School Old Boys, and Jim's, they will welcome Castletown.
Yeah, the Maloo against Old Boys, it's interesting because Old Boys are challenging for the Paul Henry Gold Cup, so they've got to keep winning. Jim's against Castletown, you know, Castletown could do with those sort of 3 points, and that just cements their place. So I'm going to go for Old Boys to win and Castletown take the result as well.
Very well. And the other remaining league game taking place on Saturday is in Canada Life Combination 1. A bit of the, I suppose, the cleaning up process, I think, as you've called it a few times, Tony. Obviously, a few rearranged games still to play from some disruption early in the season. And this sees Braddon take on Moran.
Yeah, and I'm going to go for Moran to win it. You know, Braddon's going to sort of regroup, I think, in Division 2 next season, as well with Moran. They've had a good season. I know they've been relegated, but, you know, it's been a good sort of show towards the end of the season by them. They've got some good young players in there. In this one, I'm going to go for Moran.
That's your footballing action on Saturday. Turning to Sunday, the cup competition continues. The final four of the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup. And those two semi-finals, the first of those sees the Combination 1 champions for this year, Ramsey, up against St John's United. And the Combi 1 runners-up, Rushden United, will be at home to St Mary's.
And I'm going to go with Ramsey to beat St John's, even though I've watched St John's recently. Good side. They battle away really well, and they had a good result in the last game. But I think Ramsey have got too much strength, and rushing against St Mary's, depending on what St Mary's have got, who they've got qualified. But I still think that rushing, the players that they've got, I've seen the team sheets, pretty strong, so I'll go with rushing.
And last but certainly not least, two games taking place in the Masters football, both 2 o'clock kickoffs on Sunday, and they are Governors Athletic against Onchan and Ayr United versus Union Mills.
Yeah, Governors Athletic against Onchan. I'm going to go with Onchan. You know, it seals everything up for them. And Ayr United against Union Mills. I'm going to go for Ayr to win.
Very well. Just quickly before we let you go, just a quick look back again onto midweek. We've already mentioned the Cal Cup there and Peel taking the silverware, but also it was a crucial midweek in the battle against relegation in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, and that was decided on Tuesday night at Moran. Sadly for them, will be joining Braddon in the second tier next season, but a dramatic late survival for St George's. They were winners over St John's United, whilst Moran blew a 2-goal lead to lose 4-2 at St Mary's, Tony.
Yeah, and that must be tough to take for Moran, because not saying the relegation, but just to be 2-0 up and at half time looking really good. But I think St Mary's just you know, changed things around a little bit, got the result that they wanted, and finished up 4-2. And sorry to see Moran be relegated, but certainly in the other one, it was St George's. They've done what they had to do. They've picked up 6 points out of the games that they had towards the end of the season, and that's their survival, and they stay in the Premier League.
And of course, towards the top as well. Peel currently top, played all 24 of their games, and Ayr United just behind, but still with a couple of games in hand.
They have, and got a little bit of news for you on the FA Cup final as well. But Braddon against Ayr United on Tuesday, that'll go ahead. And then Friday, because the Junior Cup final is on the Saturday at the Bowl, we can't play any football. So I've been in touch with both clubs. Both clubs have agreed. So that'll go ahead on Friday the 17th. Trying to remember where it is now. I'll come back to that one.
Drum roll, please, on that one.
It's at Ayr United.
Excellent.
Ayr United. And the FA Cup final, unfortunately, the English FA Cup final, which is Manchester United against Manchester City, kickoff was supposed to be at 5:30 early on in the season. But the police have asked that the game is put on at 3 o'clock. So we've had to move ours now. So the Hospital Cup final will be played on the Friday before. We've got the venue booked up, so that will be out to the clubs as soon as we know who the two finalists are.
Tony Meppen, thank you very much, as always.
Manx Radio Sport.
Moving on now, and as we approach the summer months, it remains full steam ahead for the athletic scene on the Isle of Man, and in recent weeks we've seen successes both on and off Ireland for local athletes in their various disciplines. One person who continues to keep a watchful eye on what's unfolding is local athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths. I've been speaking with him this week to take a look at some of the recent highlights and what's to come for some competitors in the months ahead. And what's more, we also reflected a little bit on the life and career of one of the late greats of Manx Athletics.
Yeah, well, I think we're just getting into the busy period at the start of the summer now. We had an exceptionally successful Easter period, obviously with the three-day Easter festival and also the Manx Mountain Marathon. Both really successful events this year, attracting hundreds of visiting athletes. So that was a great success over the Easter weekend. There was a little bit of a lull in the fixtures after that, which I think was much needed by everyone. But we're now very much into the sort of summer events. Now, just last Sunday, we had the Northern 10 road race, which is a 10-mile road race on a course based in Ramsey and taking in Sulby and St Jude's. That's quite a historic event. It goes back to 1983. And the winners this year in the run were Alan Corlett in the men's race and Kirsty Barber in the women's. And in the race walks, it was Neil Wade and Rachel Graham with the two winners. One athlete I would particularly like to mention, because there were three age group records set in that race, but one I would particularly like to mention is Joanne Sharder, who's a member of Western AC. Now, she's achieved the incredible feat of completing a full house of records in the veteran women's age 55 category. So over the last year or 18 months or so, Joanne has set age group records at 5 kilometres, 5 miles, 10 kilometres, 10 miles, half marathon, 20 miles and marathon. Whether that's ever been done before in the same age group, I'm not sure. Possibly the late Brenda Walker in the women's 35s, but it's a tremendous achievement by an athlete whose original involvement in athletics as quite a young athlete was actually as a thrower. She took part in the 1987 Island Games in Guernsey as a thrower. I think she did the discus and possibly the shot, and she's turned herself into a magnificent long distance or middle to long distance runner, and it's just a fantastic achievement by Joanne.
Since we last spoke, of course, we did hear of the sad passing of Brenda Walker, a legend really in recent years in terms of Isle of Man athletics over the last few decades. From your perspective, could you just explain what Brenda Walker's legacy is for Isle of Man athletics?
Well, I think her legacy is the fact that so many years after she set many of her records, which were in the late 80s and early 1990s or early to mid 1990s, a lot of our current athletes will never have met Brenda, but they'll all know her name because every time they look at the record books, both the overall women's records and the veteran 35, her name just jumps out time and time and time again. Those who knew Brenda, and I didn't really have the pleasure of knowing Brenda that well because I wasn't particularly involved in athletics at that time, but all the tributes that have been paid to her since her very sad passing, they've all said two things. One, that she was a magnificent athlete, and two, that she was a lovely person. And you know, you couldn't really have a better legacy than that.
Some of the Isle of Man athletes have continued to shine on the international stage recently as well.
Yes, they have. Last Sunday morning, we had an engaged couple, in fact, Ollie Lockley and Erica Kelly, who are getting married later on this year. They were both competing on the same day. Ollie was competing, I think he finished 17th in the Copenhagen Marathon, in a time that I think Ollie would have been a little bit disappointed with. Ollie holds the Isle of Man record, which is 2 hours 19 and bits, and certainly from the pace that he went through half distance, which was around about 67 minutes, I'm pretty sure Ollie would have been aiming for maybe 2 hours 14 or 2 hours 15. It didn't quite work out. He struggled a bit in the second half of the race, but that can happen. He gave it a real good go, and you know, he will have other opportunities as well. And in the meantime, Erica was in Warsaw in Poland, taking part in an international race walk meeting over 20 kilometres, and she achieved her best time, I think, since 2019. Erica's gone through a little bit of a spell where she's trained really well and hasn't always quite replicated her form in training in the racing, but that is starting to happen now, and I really hope that this can be the start of a big year for her.
And along with those as well, another prominent Isle of Man athlete of the last few years, David Malarkey as well, continuing to excel with Florida State University recently.
Yeah, it's almost hard to keep up with David's performances, to be honest. You know, every time I look at his Instagram page, he seems to have achieved another fantastic performance. He's setting records for Florida State University, which in itself shows how good he is, because the American collegiate athletics is incredibly competitive and it's an incredibly high standard. And for somebody to be setting college records just shows the level that he's at. He's a phenomenal athlete, and I think the best is still to come.
Just looking at the wider picture for the local scene, I guess, it's the first time in a couple of years that the Isle of Man isn't finding itself preparing for, say, the Commonwealth Games like they were in Birmingham in 2022, and of course the International Island Games last year in Guernsey as well. So how much, I suppose, much more freedom does that give some of the athletes to kind of continue what they're doing domestically when there isn't a major tournament such as those on the horizon this summer?
Yes, well, I think with it being a sort of non-championship year, if you like, it's a really important season for our track and field athletes because the Island Games in Orkney is next year in 2025. But it's really important that as many of the athletes as possible achieve standards this year. They've got a number of opportunities with the local track and field league, with the Northern League as well, or the North of England League, in which the Isle of Man has a participation. I think sometimes in the past, you know, you've had athletes where they've been chasing standards in Island Games year, and they're sort of racing every week chasing standards, and sometimes that can, you know, that can leave athletes sort of quite tired, you know, when the big event actually comes around. Much better to get the standards in the previous year, so you've got those in the bank, and then the racing plan in Island Games year can be sort of tailored to being in the best possible form at the beginning of July, rather than sort of chasing races, you know, early season. It just takes a lot of the pressure off, really. And so I think it's a really, really important year for all, especially the younger athletes who possibly haven't competed in the Island Games before and they're looking to make their debuts next year. You know, if they can get the standards in this year, that'll be a tremendous weight off their shoulders, I think, and it'll stand them in good stead.
Manx Radio Sport.
Tomorrow, hundreds of Ireland youngsters are set to take part in the 2024 Manx Youth Games. A well-established event on the local calendar, the initiative keeps aiming to boost junior participation in sport as an athlete or in other roles across Manx shores. One of the key organisers behind it is Gareth Lloyd of Manx Sport and Recreation. Speaking earlier today, he says one of the philosophies of the games is that the event is far more than just a competitive event.
The Manx Youth Games are our flagship event at MSR. It's where we try and get as many sports as possible to join in and offer training sessions for young people to go down and give a go, give the sport a go. So from the end of January up until our main event, obviously tomorrow in May, we've had weekly regional training sessions for children to go and have a go at different kind of sports for only £1. We've kept the price at £1. It's been £1 since we started. Yeah, we've been going a long time, kept the price at £1, so young people can just go and give different activities a go and try and get it into their busy social calendars now.
There are plenty of people who play sports competitively of all ages, but how important can sport be in terms of a social environment for children?
Yeah, that's what we try and aim for. It's to get children in an environment where they feel part of something, go and make new friends, go and end up just being active whilst doing it. We see different issues young people can have, not just physically but mentally, so it's for the well-being of the child altogether, and we don't really say go and do sport, it's just trying to keep them active.
There are some out there who do think that the Isle of Man quite generally is quite a sporty island in numerous ways. Do you think programmes like the Manx Youth Games contribute to that, the fact that there is, in some people's eyes, so many people who get involved in sport and keep that community going?
Yes, it definitely does. It not just participants, but we try and aid the new generation of coaches coming through too by giving them access to free safeguarding first aid qualifications. A lot of sports use young leaders as well as qualified coaches just to get them involved from that side. Normally, young participants who are getting into the teens, early 20s, and try and encourage them in to help out the sport in different ways like that. So it's as sports as a whole what we try and help and encourage and grow. It's not just the participation in people playing the sports. We try and give the sports as much support as we can after the games as well, publicise where people can go after the games. Obviously, like I said before, it's trying to get children involved on a weekly basis, and hopefully they enjoy the sports long enough from January up until now to make it a permanent fixture in the social calendar what they have.
In terms of the Manx Youth Games going forward, it's already very established as it has been over previous years. But what's the vision for it going forward? Can we see any developments, any changes? What's in mind?
Yeah, how we try and support all the sports coming into the Manx Youth Games will be an opportunity to grow it and give more variety of sports what we offer. The coach support what we offer with the safeguarding and first aid, that's a big step in the right direction, what can assist sports to be able to put on the sessions around the island. Again, trying to make sure sports are accessible all around the island is another challenge, but it's something what we try and work with the sport to try and grow. So that's where the main areas where we're looking forward to try and improve and offer a bit more selection for young people to join.
Manx Radio Sport.
And finally tonight, across today and tomorrow, the Isle of Man is playing host to intense four-wheeled racing for the latest edition of the Manx Rally. Competitors from the Isle of Man, UK and further afield are once again putting their skills to the test across 15 special stages on around 130 miles of closed roads. 2024 has seen another bumper entry. The event's director is Mark Ellison, and he explains why he thinks this meeting holds a special place on the British rallying calendar.
I would say it's down to the Isle of Man itself and the people here. I mean, the roads are absolutely fantastic. And the best way for me to highlight that is to say that, and I don't know what the new modern term is, but they did a lot of rally videos. And the rally videos are the hits that they got on that there. It was nearly 2.4 million hits they got throughout all the rally championships, which in itself is significant. What is amazing is that 1.12 million of them were for the Isle of Man alone. So we got probably 46% of all the hits. Everybody wanted to see what the Isle of Man was doing. From recent years, we have had to increase the entry from 140, and bearing in mind that last year we had 129, and now we're raising it to 150, and the reason being we had 206 entries. Is that a rise in the popularity of rallying, or is it a rise of the popularity of the Isle of Man? And I would have to say the Isle of Man, because there is another event in a week's time called the Plains Rally, and they've had to cancel due to lack of entries, which is a very, very sad thing. But the Isle of Man's doing very well, and long may it continue. It's on and up, and it's nice to see some newbies out there as well from the Manx scene. It's really good.
Why is this such a tempting challenge, should we say? Why does it draw these crews in?
Well, many people will remember years ago, in and around the Rothmans years, it wasn't a British Rally Championship. It was, in effect, a World Rally Championship. Although it wasn't called that, it was actually, as far as everyone was concerned, everybody used to come over. So you used to get people like Gary Vatnan coming over. Most of us have seen the video of them going through Thalty Will and the likes. It's got fantastic heritage as the Isle of Man. And coupled to that, and the roads, you know, your Druidales, your Thalty Wills, and of course, my favourite, the Baldwins. If you're interested in motorsport and you like things going fast in and around you, but safely, of course, this is the thing to go out and watch. It is absolutely amazing. You know, even the guys at the back, they're all trying, whether they be in their little Citroens or whatever. It's the sights, it's the smells. It's just amazing.
That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to my guests this week, Tony Meppham, Dave Griffiths, Gareth Lloyd, and also Mark Ellison. Have yourself a wonderful Friday evening on this lovely sunny night that we're going to have on the Isle of Man. And of course, have yourself a wonderful weekend as well. Simon Clark's here with you next with Greatest Hits. But from us until next time, it's bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.